We're turning to Acts chapter 1, those verses that we read together, and with God's word open before us, let's bow together just in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the precious word of the living God, and we ask Thee that as we turn to it now this morning, that we might know that help that cometh from Thee and from Thee alone. What a privilege it is that we have to be able to go to the book of God and to realize that what we are taught in the word of the living God is true and will always remain true forevermore. We ask Thee now that You will write this word upon each one of our hearts, cleanse my heart afresh in the precious blood, and fill me afresh with Thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach Thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. I want this morning to, for a short time, to think of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Acts 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We are living in days of very little evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit moving in the church or in the heart of the saved of the Lord. And what we need more than anything else in our personal lives, in the life of our church, is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The work of God is not man-led, but it is Holy Spirit-led. Lacking today in most evangelical churches is the convicting power of God the Holy Spirit, including our own churches. Many churches today, of course, are expanding through entertainment. They're feeding the flesh. They are hyping the world's music, gives people who are under tremendous pressure a sense of feel-good for a time. And when they're in the church, of course, it doesn't last. And when they leave, it's all gone until they go back to the next service. I even heard of a pastor, or when the pastor gets up to speak for a short time, quite a few of the congregation just disappear and go out the door. And John 16 and verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And you know, that is remarkable. Whenever we think and wonder, why is it that people are not getting saved today? Why is it that there's a deadness all over evangelical Christianity? And it tells us in verse 8, "When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin." So it is the Holy Ghost that reproves men and women and boys and girls of their sinnership and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. And it is so necessary that it is God the Holy Ghost we need today to move again in our midst. And Acts 1 brings us to the end of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he prepares to leave his disciples, having already given them a command, and you'll read in Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that was the command that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. And that is the command that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to you and I today that are the saved of the Lord. It is the same command. And we need to realize that we are told to go out and to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. But the first thing that we see in this chapter is the unity that they possessed. Now the cross behind them, the victory won, the devil defeated, salvation purchased, Jesus prepares to ascend to heaven, and he's still concerned about his disciples. And they receive the promise of power and are told in the verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he ye have heard of me. There was the Lord Jesus Christ, and his physical presence was with his disciples, and he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And then in the verse 14, we see that his physical presence is gone. He's gone back to heaven, but they still have the presence of Jesus spiritually with them. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And there we have the unity of those early disciples meeting together, waiting for the blessing of the Lord. And then the verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Unity is very important in the church. And you know what's greatly lacking today? We need the Holy Ghost power. Nothing can take the place of the power of God moving in the midst of his redeemed people. And we need today to be united as a body of believers around the Word of God to hear the voice of God leading us into blessing. Oh, let us long for that unity amongst God's redeemed people. Now, we're not talking about ecumenical unity, but we're talking about God-ordained unity. In Psalm 133, in the verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, as the Jew of Hermon, and as the Jew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. How else are we to know how to live for God if we do not dwell in the presence of the Lord Jesus? Oh, for blessed times as we gather together in the house of God, and particularly as we gather around the Lord's table. In a lot of churches, and I didn't know there was communion here today, but we have this here, and a lot of churches at the communion service, many get up and they leave during the last hymn. Some make the excuse that they're in a hurry. Others say, I don't feel right to need to stay. I would need to be living better. But you know, the table is for those who love the Lord and want to serve him better and to live closer to the Lord. And where better to confess our lack of love and renew our vows to be better in the days ahead as at the Lord's table? For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he eateth and drinketh unworthily, and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You see, we need unity in these days. And where better than in the church of God, with God's people around the table that is spread, that God has appointed. It's not the church's table. It's the Lord's table. And that's what we have to realize, that when we come, it is a place where believers, those that are saved by God's grace, can have fellowship with the eternal God of heaven and with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Dissension, of course, brings hardness. It brings anger. It brings a wrong attitude, no love, and our own way. And you know, the greatest sin today is pride. And you know, preachers sometimes are full of pride. They think there's nobody else can preach but them. God help them if they think that. Because it's the people in the pew, of course, can realize whether they can preach or whether they can't. But you know, it starts in the pulpit, and it also in the pew, where people are full of pride and think there's nobody else lives right but them. And nobody else does anything right but them. My dear friend, we need to realize that we need to get rid of pride. And we need to have that unity that brings a love for Jesus and a love for fellow believers. And as we unite as believers around his word, that we will be willing to obey his command and to wait and to seek the daily filling of the Holy Spirit. The unity that they possessed, and they were commanded of God, and they fulfilled that whenever we come to the verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. But then the second thing is the command they received. For in verse 4, but wait for the promise of the Father. Now, of course, the hardest thing is to wait. I don't know, sometimes in different areas, but if you're looking to get an appointment with a doctor in Oma, it takes you about 3 weeks, unless you're about to die. And then they'll put you on an emergency waiting list. But if you want to get an appointment, and it's hard for people to wait. Sometimes at an airport, if a plane is late, people panic. And you know, in this age of hustle and bustle, no one wants to wait. Young people must have everything immediately. They must have a new house. They must be fully furnished. They must have a new car. And they must have their foreign holiday. Of course, the banks are up to that. I remember being across the border, and I was in a house, and the son was getting married, and he was building a house, and he had went to the bank to get the money to build the house. And eventually the bank manager says, but you know, when you get your house built, you'll have to have a nice car driveway up to it, and you'll need a nice new car to sit in front of it, and you'll need this and you'll need that. I suggest you take more money. That was, of course, before the financial market fell. I don't know whether they would still do that now or not. Credit cards are stretched to the limit, and days passed. You paid for one item before you got the next. Now everything is paid for just by the card. Christians are in a hurry in God's work, hence the bringing in of the world and its ways into the church. But you know, God's way is to wait for his timing. First, go through with God. Seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, go through with God. And that should be our desire day by day as the children of the Lord, that we will go through with God. Earlier, Jesus had commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, as we read. And now he is telling them to wait for the power to fulfill his command. God's work cannot be accomplished in our own strength. Yes, we must plan. Yes, we must organize. But expect God to bless. But the power to see the word of God prosper is in the strength of God alone. We must wait on God for his outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our own hearts. And only then will we see the blessing of God in our own life, our family life, our church life. You see, we need to be consistent whenever we're a Christian. It's like a young fella told me, he says, you know, my dad tells me not to lie, and he's the greatest liar out, because when he doesn't tell the truth, or when he can't tell the truth, he just tells lies. And you know, that's someone who was saying one thing and doing another. And there are many today in this land of ours that profess to be saved, and they go to church, and you would think butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. And they're the greatest twisters in the house that has ever come. You see, we need to be consistent in these days, and we need to have the power of God in our lives, that we will be able to live for him. There's the unity that they possessed. There's the command they received. But then there's the promise fulfilled. In Acts chapter 1, we saw that the unity they possessed, the command being fulfilled. But now when we come into chapter 2 and the verse 4, the fulfilling of that promise. The verse 1 of chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There was unity. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you know, that was a tremendous day. And God always fulfills his promise. God promised a Savior in Genesis, and he fulfilled that promise in the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And in Acts 2, 16 to 18, but this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And that was the fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel 3 and 28. Because there it said nearly word for word, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens of those days will I pour out my Spirit. And you know, what a transformation at the coming of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And what a tremendous blessing it was on the early church. It transformed Peter into a mighty preacher of the gospel. His weakness was gone. From the one who had denied the Lord Jesus, now he was bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. There were gifts, of course, bestowed that day, the gift of tongues or the languages for the spread of the gospel. Until the scriptures were fulfilled, everyone in Jerusalem heard the gospel as we read in their own language. And you know, that was for a purpose that those tongues were given, to spread the gospel right out of Jerusalem and right around the whole area. Transformed the rest of the disciples who had fled from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ some short time before. and 3,000 souls saved and separated unto the Lord. And the work of God progressed daily. And you know, that was tremendous. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, do you know, that's what we need today. We need powerful praying. The prayer meetings are dead. It's the same people praying the same prayers, and I include myself in it. And is it any wonder somebody said to me, why is young people not coming to the prayer meetings? And it's just simply because it's the same people praying the same prayers. It's like what Dr. Paisley did one time on the old Ravenhill Road. He said to them, he said, I want you all at the prayer meeting, and I'm going to record the prayer meeting, and then you needn't bother coming back. I'll just bring the tape and play it. And you know, that could happen in quite a few places at the minute. But what we need today is powerful praying. We need powerful preaching. Now, we have sound preaching, but the Holy Spirit is not working through the preaching of the Word of God to the same extent as in days gone past. And while the preaching is sound, we need the moving of God, the Holy Ghost, to apply that preaching to the hearts and minds of the people. Powerful witnessing. Do we witness as Christians, or do we keep quiet and say nothing? If something comes up in your life, do you stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and do you tell them that they need to be saved? Or do you moan and groan? Or do you show the joy of the Lord in your heart that your sins are gone? Powerful testimonies. Not in the pulpit only, but before our family and our neighbors and our friends. You see, that's where you find out whether a person's living for the Lord or not. Ask the person that's in business with them. Ask the person that works with them. Ask the person who lives next to them as a neighbor, and you'll soon get to know if their testimony is right. Only these things can be achieved. Powerful praying, powerful preaching, powerful witnessing, powerful testimonies can only be achieved when we as God's people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Only then. Now, when we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8 and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we need that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit day by day as we live and serve the Lord. The command is, of course, be ye filled with the Spirit. And it's not a once-only filling, but it's a daily filling of God the Holy Ghost. The verse we quoted earlier, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let us wait up before God and seek the infilling of the Holy Ghost to see God move in these terrible days of declension and apostasy. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer the day we are saved, convicts us, leads us, teaches us, endues us with power over sin. And yet there is the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit that we need day by day to help us to do the will of God and to do the work of God. And we need that fresh moving of God. God is still in control of the world. Now, I know our own land's in a mess. The laws that Britain was established on are one by one being taken away. God's law that they were based on has been done away with, and man's law has been brought in. But you know, God is still in control. Let us cry unto God to fill us with the Holy Spirit and expect God to answer our prayer, to endue us with power, to witness for the Lord, to serve the Lord, to see souls saved and added to the church of Jesus Christ. You see, God still has moved in extraordinary ways since the day of Pentecost. The 1859 revival, the power manifested in conviction of sin and the conversion of sinners. And W.P. Nicholson's days in the early 1900s, when God packed churches and people came under conviction of sin. The 6 Mile Water Revival, the faith mission in the early days when they had missions round the countryside, and when God moved in power, the IEB that was formed even in Enniskillen, and even in the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church, the evening services were full of people and the unsaved were getting saved. Missions, many were saved night after night. And what's happening today, you don't even get the unsaved in. In fact, you can't even get your own people back at night sometimes to church. And you know, we need in these days to see God move in power, Holy Ghost power that will convict and convince, that we might see God move again in miracle power. Our cry must be, do it again, Lord. Let us seek the daily infilling of the Holy Spirit. Expect God to work in power, even in this day of deadness and barrenness. I believe that God can still come in power. Now, I know we're living in days that are perhaps prior to the return of the Lord Jesus. But even God is moving in some other countries at this time. And he's not moving in our country, where we have been privileged to have the gospel preached for years. But let each one of us seek to be filled with the Spirit and to see the moving of God again in our land, that we will see a moving away from man's own ideas to the law that would be based upon the word of the living God. May God bless this word to our hearts, and may God put a desire in your heart and in my heart to be able to see our hearts filled with the Holy Ghost power, that we will be able to move and see the work of God go forward in these days. We would love to see again God move in power.